Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
What happened to music that meant something?
The Who at the Kingdom or Kiss at the Coliseum. Where is the Misty Mountain Hop? Where is the... is the smoke on the water? Where is the Iron Man of today?
Hey, this is not a test. This is rock and roll.
Welcome to Sound Opinions from Chicago Public Radio and American Public Media. I'm Jim DeRogatis, the pop music critic at the Chicago Sun-Times.
And I'm Greg Katz. I write about rock and roll for the Chicago Tribune. Today on the world's only rock and roll talk show, Jim and I explore the life and career of American songwriter Townes Van Zandt with his disciple, Steve Earle.
Plus, we'll review the new albums from the Black Eyed Peas and Phoenix.
Support for Sound Opinions is provided by founding sponsor Alltech Lansing and their new Octave Air speaker system, a wireless 80-watt wall of sound for your iPod. Details available at alltechlansing.com.
You're listening to Sound Opinions, and now it's time for some music news.
Remember the 90s, Greg? That was a brief hit back then in the alt era by the Lemonheads, Evan Dando's band, power pop band, It's a Shame About Ray. This from the Los Angeles Times. It's pretty funny. Dando, I think, is one of the most troubled figures out of the alternative era when it comes to shooting himself in the foot consistently. He had more chances at the brass ring that he blew through drug abuse, through just boneheadedness, has not been heard of in some years, but is gearing up to put an album out. He thinks that General Motors has ripped off his song, It's a Shame About Ray, the one song people know from the Lemonheads, if they know them at all, and used it in two car commercials. So he sued in a court in Los Angeles recently, General Motors. It's like, hey, Evan, have you heard? General Motors is having some trouble, man. They're in bankruptcy. It's like not a good idea necessarily to go after this American car company at this time, especially because, and we love these stories, right, when Tom Waits sued Frito-Lay and won, especially because as far as I can tell, this doesn't really sound like It's a Shame About
Ray. No, it doesn't.
Listen to the commercial.
Everyone likes to hunt for a bargain. So this Memorial Day, we've quietly placed specially marked Chevys on our lots. You might have to look hard to find them.
I don't know. Does that sound like Dando or not? You decide if you were on the jury, are you pro Evan or not?
Hey, everybody! Let's have some fun! You only live once, and when you die,
is That is Coco Taylor with her version of Let the Good Times Roll. You get a sense of Coco Taylor as a live performer in that brief snippet. She was one of the most commanding performers in Chicago blues for the last half century. She is now dead at the age of 80. Born Cora Walton in Tennessee in 1928, grew up on a sharecropper's farm, lost both parents by the time she was 11. She was that last generation of blues performers, Jim, who actually had deep connections to the South and was part of that diaspora that came up north to look for jobs around World War II. She came up in the early 50s, soon after World War II was over, with her future husband, Pops Taylor. They both got jobs in Chicago. She was never looking particularly to be a performer. She sang in the gospel church. And I think there was a couple of reasons for this. One, she didn't have a lot of confidence in herself as a singer. And there was this whole sense of this was a man's world. It was very tough for a woman to break into blues at that time. And certainly the Chicago blues scene, which was dominated by these towering male figures Muddy Waters and Howlin' Wolf.
Well, Coco was a tough broad. Yeah. And I mean that as the finest compliment. But I got to say, every time I was in her presence, she scared me.
Yeah, she could blow the doors down. And I think part of it was that, you know, that bravado and that brassiness in her voice was her way of saying, I can do it as well as any guy can. Willie Dixon approached her in the early 60s and said, listen, we need your voice out there. I've heard you sing. You can be great. And he handed her this song, Wang Dang Doodle, that became her signature. It was a huge hit in 1965, launched her career on Chess Records. In the early 70s, she signed with a fledgling label known as Alligator Records in Chicago, owned by Bruce Iglauer. And they started a beautiful partnership that lasted for the next several decades, made a string of classic blues records for Alligator, really defining that Chicago blues sound, won 29 W.C. Handy Awards down in Memphis, the most any performer has ever won, basically the blues equivalent of the Grammy. She was far and away the most lauded performer of her time. So we celebrate Coco Taylor for a number of reasons, defining the Chicago blues sound and breaking down a lot of barriers for women in the blues. Without her, there would be very few women blues performers today. People like Shamika Copeland, Susan Tedeschi, Marsha Ball, they owe all a debt to the groundwork laid by Coco Taylor. Best way that we can pay tribute to the late Coco Taylor is to play one of her songs. I think she's most celebrated for that up-tempo stuff, like Wang Dang Doodle, but I'd like to play a song that I think illustrates the fact that she was a much more nuanced performer than perhaps she was given credit for. She does a terrific version of the Etta James song, I'd Rather Go Blind, and here it is on Sound Opinions.
Something told me it was when I saw you and heard talking, yeah. Something deep down in my soul say cry when I saw you and heard walking. So you see, I'd rather go blind than to see you walk away from me.
Coco Taylor on Sound Opinions with her version of I'd Rather Go Blind, the classic Etta James song. Coco Taylor dead at the age of 80 years old.
I'm going down on the highway, listen to them big trucks whine. I'm going down on the highway, listen to them big trucks whine. White green line, won't you steal away my mind? New Mexico ain't bad, Lord. Going better.
That is Steve Earle on Sound Opinions performing his version of White Freightliner Blues by the great Townes Van Zandt. Earle is a friend of Sound Opinions. He's been on the show before. One of the best singers and songwriters in America today. This time, though, when Steve came by the Jim and Kay Maybe studio, we wanted to focus on a man he considers his mentor, Townes Van Zandt. And Earle is not alone in that. Lucinda Williams, Guy Clark, there was a whole circle of people in that Austin singer-songwriter scene who looked up to Townes Van Zandt. He was a Texan by birth, but traveled all over the country, Minnesota, Colorado, but really a Texan by spirit, that unique Texas spirit that Joe Nick Petoskey was talking about a couple of weeks ago when we talked about Willie Nelson. Well, Willie Nelson and Merle Haggard had a number one hit covering Townes Van Zandt with his best-known song, Poncho and Lefty. But Townes left a rich legacy of tunes. May not be a household word for many people who aren't music geeks, but he's the kind of singer and songwriter that other singer and songwriters looked up to and admired and wanted to be, except for the part where he drank himself to death. Anyway, we thought it would be nice to look at Townes Van Zandt's legacy as a singer and a songwriter and to talk to Steve Earle about that and hear some of the new versions of Van Zandt songs that he's performed on his new album, Townes.
You're listening to Sound Opinions. I'm Greg Kot here with Jim DeRogatis, and we're in the Jim and Kay Maybe studio with Steve Earle, a man who's written a few pretty great songs in his lifetime, but his latest album is devoted completely to the music of another person, Townes Van Zandt. It's called Townes. I think if people think about Townes Van Zandt casually anyway, they know two things about him. The guy who wrote Poncho and Lefty,
right,
which was a number one country hit for Willie Nelson and Merle Haggard, and that he died tragically at age 52, destitute in terms of just his personal health, heroin addict, alcoholism, manic depressive. And yet he was your friend, hero, and in many ways maybe the reason you're playing music today, right, Steve?
Yeah, I mean, he's absolutely. I don't know how much all the diagnoses have to do with it. I mean, I, like anybody else, you know, probably when I first met Townes, there was a lot about his behavior that I found intriguing, like everybody else did. But I fairly quickly I learned to separate all that stuff. And for me, it became fairly obvious I was witnessing somebody that was making art at this really incredibly high level. And he wasn't making any money, and it didn't make any difference. He wasn't doing it for money.
Well, you were here in Chicago a couple of years back. You taught a songwriting class at the Old Town School of Folk Music. This album, Townes, has been in the work for 10 or 15 years. It's something you wanted to do for a long time. We figured we'd get a bit of a master class here on Sound Opinions.
Well,
because you once famously said, and this is probably the single most repeated Steve Earle quote, Townes Van Zandt's best songwriter in the whole world, and I'll stand on Bob Dylan's coffee table in my cowboy boots and say that.
Yeah, I did that. I said it for, it was a blurb.
Yeah, and hyperbole is forgiven.
It was one of those things that, and do I think, and did I think then that Townes was a better songwriter than Bob Dylan? No, but did I think he deserved to be mentioned in the same breath? Yes, and so did and does Bob Dylan. It's one of those things that Bob's never had any trouble letting people know, you know, how good he was. And Townes did, and not because he doubted himself as an artist. I don't believe that's what the problem was. I mean, I don't know, but the problem seemed to be what his idea of what he deserved as a human being. And I don't know why he sabotaged himself, but he did constantly.
Mm. Well, let's. You said, you know, best thing to do is to hear the music. How about a Townes song?
This is like a. I recorded this the first thing I recorded, and it's like the first day in jail. You go out and find the biggest guy on the yard, you knock him out, and then you get to keep your radio.
Living on the road, my friend, that's gonna keep you free and clean. Now you wear your skin like iron, breath's as hard as kerosene. Weren't your mama's only boy, but a baby one seems. And she began to cry when she said goodbye. ponchos, banded boards, horses fast as polished steel. Warriors gun outside his pants for all the honest world to feel. Pontumes met, you know, on the desert down in Mexico. Nobody heard his dying words. And that's the way it goes. How the Federalists say, I could hit him in a day, but only let him hang around. And a kindness, I suppose. Lefty can't sing the blues all night long like he used to. The dust, the poncho bit down south, and it up and left his mouth. The deadly poor poncho low, left his split for how, where he got the bread to go. Nobody knows how the Federalists say, could hit him in a day, or only let him slip away. What a kindness, I suppose. Poets tell how Pancho fell. Left us living in a cheap hotel. The desert's quiet and Cleveland's cold. So the story ends, we're told. Poncho needs your prayers, it's true, but save a few for Lefty too. He only did what he had to do. Now he's growing old. How the Federalists say, I could hit him in a day, but only let him go so wrong. Out of kindness, I suppose. A few great Federalists say, I could hit him in a day, but only let him hang. Kindness, I suppose.
What a song. Poncho and Lefty by the great Towns Van Zandt, by his one of his many students, Steve Earle.
Oh, no, we were cult members.
You've called him a schoolmaster, yeah, and, well, and no, you said he was a cult.
But we literally were, me, Guy Clark, you know, Lucinda Williams. You know, we were members of a cult. The Towns Van Zandt at the center. There's not any doubt about that.
So sitting at his feet, did you ever get an insight into where that song came from, how he wrote that song?
Well, he got so tired of people asking him who the song was about, you know, or even being as forward as saying, that's like about Pancho Villa and Lefty Frizzell, right? Which is, you know, kind of stupid as soon as you say it. But they're about him. That's my opinion. Mm. They're all, he's Pancho and Lefty. Mm. And I think more than any other artist I've ever run across, Towns' art was about him. And normally, you know, it sounds like it would be an incredibly self-centered thing to do, but every once in a while you run across somebody that's so good that they can look constantly inward at themselves, and what comes out naturally is the part of their impression of themselves that all the rest of us relate to, which is what art's about. You know, they say you can only write about what you know, but you have to write about the part of your experience that you, it's about the similarities, it's about the common experience.
I got a brand new companion. Now I'm gonna do right this time.
Coming up next on Sound Opinions from Chicago Public Radio and American Public Media, we continue our discussion about Townes Van Zandt with Steve Earle. And later on, Greg and I will review the new albums from the Black Eyed Peas and Phoenix.
Cools me with the breathing, chases with them howling bottles of wine. She feels just like my guitar. She's near as tall as me. This is like my guitar, as tall as me. She lives way out on the D train, but she's Texas as can be.
Welcome back to Sound Opinions from Chicago Public Radio and American Public Media. We're going to continue our look at the life and legacy of Townes Van Zandt with guest Steve Earle. Steve recently paid tribute to Townes Van Zandt by recording an album of his songs. So I asked him why he believes Van Zandt's songwriting is so unique.
I'm just dreaming, ain't got no ride in the junkyard's pretty good.
One of the premises that you've talked about when you did your songwriting class in Old Town and other places that I've heard you say this, something along the lines of, you know, mediocre songwriters borrow, great songwriters steal.
Yeah.
But with Townes, you made the case, I've heard you make the case, that he was an original.
He was, his body of work, it's based, I mean, he was a folk singer, so... You know, there were parts of his guitar playing and parts of the way he did things. He wrote talking blues, and, you know, he wrote them as a study. He wrote them, you know, to practice doing it. One time I was talking to him about you know, like where he got a verse for Cocaine Blues, and he said he wouldn't tell me, but he asked me to go get a guitar, and we sat and we made up verses for Cocaine Blues for, like, 2 hours.
Cocaine, cocaine. Round my heart and running round my brain, cocaine. All you old cocaine. I woke up this morning, Lord, I had a hunger pain. And all I want for breakfast is my good cocaine, cocaine.
And he said, that's all it's about. It's about making all them up. It doesn't matter how they turn out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just about preserving that, you know, that tradition. But he did come up with stuff. Pancho and Lefty is, like, sort of hard, you know, when you take that musically and take it apart. And what does that sound like? I mean, it doesn't sound like any other country song I've ever heard musically. But Townes was, he was a blues singer. And he was that on a cellular level. I really do believe that. I mean, what Townes and Guy and myself and a, you know, a shrinking number of people, unfortunately, have in common is we got to Houston in time, and we all saw Matt Slipscomb and Lightnin' Hopkins in the same room at the same time on more than one occasion.
Well, that's cool.
In Townes' case, I think Lightnin' was actually paying attention to what Townes was doing.
And the other influence I recall you mentioning on Townes was Robert Frost.
Yeah, well, no, that was what Townes was saying when asked the question that every journalist, unfortunately, asks every artist, what are your biggest influences?
Yeah.
It's like, that's the lead in. It's like, Townes would say Robert Frost and Lightnin' Hopkins, and they'd think it was a joke, but it really wasn't.
Yeah.
He was serious. So it's a big difference, I think, if you want to analyze a difference between Bob Dylan and Towns and the way they approach it. Dylan was into, you know, French modernist poets and the Beats. And Towns was into that too, but he also was really fascinated and really, you know, took what he did lyrically more from more conventional late 19th century and early 20th century and on up into mid 20th century, you know, lyrical poets, you know, lyric poets like Robert Frost and even Carl Sandburg. And he just approached it that way. It was a little more American in some ways. It was just for some reason that's what spoke to him. And he also was way, way, way into Shakespeare. Mm-hmm. You know, he kind of was one of those people that sort of kind of thought an iambic pentameter in the first place.
So you got this super literary guy, pretty good guitar player.
He was a great guitar player, and I think that a lot of what this record's about for me is most people did not see it. Towns, unfortunately, found a much larger audience in the 90s than he ever found in the late 60s and early 70s when he was making, you know, the records that most of the songs on this record of mine came from. And I gravitate towards those songs because it's the songs that he played when I met him, you know, when he made the biggest impression on me.
You talk about the survivor guilt, and, you know, it's got to be a tough place to be. Your life and Towns' life were in many ways parallel in terms of just the personal issues that you were going through, and you pulled out of it in the mid-90s.
Right.
And when you got out of it, Towns was still in it. There was like that 2-year window there where Towns was still alive. And
right.
Did you have any conversations with him at that point about
that,
getting out of it and saying, Towns, you got to do this too?
No, the closest I ever came, that was when I was still using Towns. You know you're in bad shape when Towns Van Zandt shows up at your house to give you a temperance lecture. And it happened to me. I people were so worried about me that Towns showed up at my house. And this was like in 92, I guess. And I was getting ready to just slip off the face of the earth for several years. And I pulled up in the driveway. It was my wife had literally gotten me out of a crack house and brought me home. And I walked in. Towns' car was in the driveway when we pulled up. And Teresa immediately retreated to the bedroom. And walked in, and Towns was playing one of my guitars sitting in the living room. God, I never locked the house. And he looked at me and he said, "You look like," and he said something I'm not supposed to say on the radio. And he said, "Well, your arms really look bad." And I'm like, "I know." And he said, "You got clean needles?" And I said, "Yeah." He said, "Every time?" And I said, "Yeah." He said, "All right, man, let me play you the song that I wrote." And and he played Marie.
Well, I stood in line and left my name. Took about 6 hours or so. Man just grinned like it was all a game. Said they'd let me know. I put in my time till the Pocono line shut down 2 years ago. I was living at the Mission till I met Marie. I can't stay there no more.
The last time I saw Towns in person was the night the Bluebird Cafe record was recorded, which was in 95. And, you know, he was dead, you know, a year and a half later.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked on the phone a couple of times after that, but it was the last time I saw him. It was the last time Guy and Towns and I were all in the same room at the same time. And
Guy Clark, yeah.
Yeah. The way I live and the reason I'm still here is 12-step programs. It's still, I go to meetings, I call my sponsor, I do all that stuff. He wasn't willing to do all that stuff. He knew about that stuff. He'd go to treatment centers to dry out, you know, but he would always come back out and start drinking again immediately.
Well, we've made the case. We want to remember the songs and the art,
yeah,
and not
absolutely.
The behavior.
Absolutely.
Are you going to give us one more, Steve?
Yeah, I'm going to. This song is like, I've been singing it longer than almost any of them. I almost didn't record it because Lyle Lovett recorded it a few years ago, and then. But it was one that I just felt really close to because I've always played it. And it's if this song doesn't scare you to death, I didn't exclude the dark songs, that's for sure. This one's there. If this song doesn't scare you to death, then you're over-medicated. So. We'll
won't you lend your lungs to me? Mine are collapsing. Plan my feet and bitterly breathe up. Time is passing. Breath I take, breath I give. Pray the day ain't poison. Stand among the ones that live lonely in decision. Our fingers walk the darkness down. Mind is on the midnight. Gather up a goal you found, you fools on the moonlight. If you try and take it home, your hands are turned to butter. Better leave this dream alone, try and find another. Salvation sat and crossed itself and called the devil partner. Wisdom burned upon a ship who killed the raging cancer. Seal the river at its mouth, take the waters prisoner. Fill the sky with screams and cries, bathe in fiery answer. Wasn't on the sun, love is on the concept. Strangers crying, pouring tongues, dirty at the doorstep. High for one of you, for two, ain't got the time for outside. I'll go into the lust of you and tell the world we tried.
That's Lungs. Towns Van Zandt's song, covered by Steve Earle on Sound Opinions. Steve, thanks so much for coming into Sound Opinions.
Thank you.
I'm going out to Denver, see if I can find. I'm going out to Denver, see if I can. That loving Colorado girl of mine.
Well, we've just heard Steve Earle perform some of Towns' songs and talk a lot about Towns, and it's interesting, Jim, that Towns is often heard about but seldom heard. A lot of people know there was this songwriter, Towns Van Zandt, but what did he actually sound like? His records kind of got lost in the shuffle. As Earle said so eloquently, he shot himself in the foot so many times that career never took off. But I think there were a couple of things that stood out for me about Towns Van Zandt. One, just a brilliant guitarist and vocalist. I think he was a very underrated singer. A lot of his records tend to gussy up his performances with orchestration that he really didn't need. So I prefer his solo live recordings as the place to go when you're looking for Towns Van Zandt. And the other thing is his incredible sense of melody. He would write these tragic lyrics, these really dark, sorrowful, death-obsessed lyrics, but at the same time couch him in these beautiful melodies. And it always gave me a sense of empathy coming out of this guy. You sense that he cared about these characters. And in a lot of ways, as Earle said, I think in all of these songs, whether he was writing about a man or a woman or a coal miner, somebody from the 19th century, Towns was really writing about himself in all of these songs. And that's what I hear in this song, Tecumseh Valley. I get this image from some Wild West town from the 19th century, and he's writing about this woman, Carolyn, who meets this tragic end. But at the same time, I think he's really writing about himself, and he couches it in this just gorgeous melody. One of his greatest songs, Tecumseh Valley, from Towns Van Zandt on Sound Opinions.
Where the name she gave was Caroline, the daughter of a miner. And her ways were free, and it seemed to me the sunshine walked beside her. She come from Spencer, across the hill. She said her pa had sent her, 'cause the coal was low, and soon the
the snow would turn the skies to winter. Well, she said she'd come to look for work. She was not seeking favors for a dime a day and a place to stay. She turned those hands to labor. But the times were hard, Lord, and her jobs were few. All through Tecumseh Valley, but she asked around till a job she found, tending bar at Gypsy Sally's. Well, she saved enough to get back home when spring replaced the winter. But her dreams were denied, her pa had died. Well, a word come down from Spencer.
That's Tecumseh Valley from Towns Van Zandt. You can find that song on many albums, but I think the place to start if you're looking for Towns Van Zandt music is a record called Live at the Old Quarter in Houston, Texas, from 1973.
Greg, we heard Steve Earle cover Poncho and Lefty earlier in the show. People may know the version that went to number one, as I said, by Merle Haggard and Willie Nelson. It's a great version by Emmylou Harris as well. But I thought we ought to hear Towns himself playing his best song. It was released on a 1972 album prophetically called The Late Great Towns Van Zandt. Earl kind of ducked the question when we asked where he thought this song came from. That's when he said they're all about Towns himself. And I can see that. And a lot of people think it's really about Pancho Villa. I don't think it's about that at all. I think you have to go back to the period when Towns was writing this song. There had been a couple of influential films just 2 years earlier in 69, The Wild Bunch by Sam Peckinpah and Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. In the midst of the social and political upheaval that was the 60s in this country, there was a reevaluation of what had happened in the West when American imperialism kind of pushed out and took Texas away from the Mexicans and put the Indians, the Native Americans, on the reservation. Suddenly, the people who conquered, quote-unquote, the West, or stole it, according to others, were not heroes. They were misfits and losers, and kind of noble in a way, because they were individuals, but they were pawns in a greater game. Mm-hmm. And if that doesn't kind of explain the entire life of this sad, alcoholic, but brilliant singer and songwriter, Towns Van Zandt, I don't know what does. I think listening to Pancho and Lefty with that in mind brings a new dimension to it, and of course, hearing Towns himself sing it in what one great Texas writer described as that dusty, sweet voice, I think is a real treat. So here is Towns Van Zandt on Sound Opinions with his version of Pancho and Lefty.
Living on the road, my friend, was gonna keep you free and clean. Now you wear your skin like iron and your breath's as hard as kerosene. You weren't your mama's only boy, but her favorite one, it seems. She began to cry when you said goodbye and sank into your dreams. Well, Pancho was a bandit, boys. His horse was fast as polished steel. Wore his gun outside his pants for all the honest world to feed. But Pancho met his match, you know, on the deserts down in Mexico. And nobody heard his dying words. Oh, but that's the way it goes. And all the federales say they could have had him any day. They only let him hang around out of kindness, I suppose.
Pancho and Lefty from Towns Van Zandt, a classic song by a great singer-songwriter. Jim and I are going to be back on Sound Opinions from Chicago Public Radio and American Public Media with our reviews of new albums from the Black Eyed Peas and Phoenix. But I also want to remind you that everyone's a critic on Sound Opinions, and we need to hear your voice on this show as well. So give us a call, 888-859-1800, and tell us what you think.
Where he got the bread to go. Oh, there ain't nobody knows. And all the federales say they could have had him any day. They only let him slip away. Out of kindness, I suppose. Well, the poets tell how Pancho fell and left his living in a cheap hotel. The desert's quiet and Cleveland's cold, so the story ends, we're told. Pancho needs your prayers, it's true. Save a few for Lefty too. He just did what he had to do. And now he's growing old. A few gray federales say they could have had.
Support for Sound Opinions is provided by founding sponsor Alltech Lansing and their new Octave Air speaker system, a wireless 80-watt wall of sound for your iPod. Details available at alltechlansing.com.
Gotta get dip, 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 dip. Boom, boom, boom. Gotta get 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 dip. Boom, boom, boom. That boom, boom, boom. That boom, boom, boom. That boom, boom. Yo, I got that hit to beat the block. You can get that bass on below. I got that rock and roll. That future flow. That digital spit. Next level visual. I got that boom.
Welcome back to Sound Opinions from Chicago Public Radio and American Public Media. There's a song you cannot escape. It's been number one for the last 4 weeks. It's the Black Eyed Peas with Boom Boom Pow from their new album, The End. The Black Eyed Peas have made a little bit of history here, Jim, in case you haven't heard. They have had 12 top 40 hits in a row, the most of any artist in this decade, surpassing the record set by Backstreet Boys and Nickelback with that particular song. They have created their own little niche on the pop charts. No other group of the last 10 years is quite as successful as the Black Eyed Peas at charting songs. It started in the late 90s with this group. It was a different group back then. The Black Eyed Peas were more of that socially conscious wing of West Coast hip-hop, kind of a refreshing take in a gangster rap-dominated scene. The band morphed again in 2003 with the addition of the vocalist Stacey Ferguson, a.k.a. Fergie.
Or the Duchess.
To the lineup. Yes, the Duchess, let's not forget. And with Fergie in the lineup, started to produce a string of hit singles like Let's Get It Started in 2003 and My Humps in 2005. Who can forget
classic.
My Humps, right?
I love My Humps.
And very much in that tradition with Boom Boom Pow Now. So the new album, the fifth studio album from the Black Eyed Peas, is out now. We're going to give our review in a minute, but let's play a track from it first. It's called Party All the Time from the Black Eyed Peas on Sound Opinions.
Party all the time. Party all the time.
If we could
party all night and sleep all day and throw all of my problems away, my life will be easy. My life will be easy.
I would drink and go out with my crew. Party, party all the time. Yep, that's what I do. Mac models, pop bottles, live life like a sheep.
Party.
Monday through Sunday, every day of the week. High octane life in the fast lane. Zoom in a joint, don't pop till I walk in the room. And the DJ's rocking my favorite tune. And it's shaking up the speaker like boom, boom, boom.
If we could party on.
Speak up.
That is the Black Eyed Peas with Party All the Time from their new album, The END, which stands, Mr. Codd, for Energy Never Dies. It's an acronym.
Thanks for filling that, filling us in, Jim.
Well, you know, I love the Black Eyed Peas. I really do. I was worried about this because main man, musical impresario Will.i.am has produced a string of cruddy albums lately. He has not been doing his best work for other artists. I would exclude the Duchess, Fergie's solo album from that because I enjoyed that quite a bit. It must be said that the Black Eyed Peas are, you know what, in the 70s Saturday morning cartoon world, Josie and the Pussycats and the Banana Split were. That's the Black Eyed Peas today. This is a cartoon band. It has two rappers in it, Apple D. App and Taboo, who cannot rap. It has Fergie, who cannot sing, or at least we wouldn't want to hear her sing without the benefit of autotune. And it has a producer, Will.i.am, who has never met a musical cliche he has not embraced. With everyone saying autotune is dead, he's got it all over this album. All of that is exactly why they're brilliant. This is perfect hip pop. Bubblegum. It's gleeful. The only time this album drags down is when they get kind of message-centric and start talking about the new generation and all the important things we should do. I think that's like a hangover from Will.i.am's single last year supporting Barack Obama. You know, yes, we can. I was like, yeah, okay, whatever. We don't need to know how you're voting, Will. Just give us more of those stupid good time hooks. He delivers them in spades. This is a great summer party album, and you're going to rain on the parade, but you are the black cloud at the summer picnic. Mr. Cott, I know it.
Oh my God. See, Jim, I think you can only appreciate this album if you appreciate hearing ripoffs of novelty songs like Macarena and Let the Dogs Out. Who Let the Dogs Out?
Well, that's great stuff.
And those groups went away after one novelty single. Will.i.am has managed to turn that into a career. I mean, five albums strong. As I said, 12 hit singles in a row that have cracked the top 40. Hugely successful with this formula, bubblegum stuff, that is, you know, when I think of hip-hop producers in the last decade, I think about master chefs working in the studio. And I think Timbaland at the top of his game,
Timbaland is doing these five-course
meals, right? This guy's doing the microwave snacks. I mean, it is the lowest common denominator stuff.
And you've never had a Hot Pocket.
You know, once in a while, it's good, but you're talking about an entire album's worth of this stuff. Seriously, you can sit down and listen to this record and not just completely want to throw it against the wall after about two, three songs.
No, but you're using
that song we just heard. You're going to defend that?
Yes, I am. You know what that song is? That's an update of Bad Days by the Flaming Lips. You have to sleep late when you can, and all your bad days will end. And instead, you know, Fergie is singing, if we could party all night and sleep all day and throw all our problems away, our lives would be easy. I mean, how can you not love that?
That's crazy.
This is summer single music. You don't have to listen to the whole thing.
It's unintentionally funny at times. I do like that one line, and I Got a Feeling, where he says, fill up my cup, mazel tov.
Yeah, right. How can you not like this guy? Come on, this is a buy it record.
Oh,
buy
my
it,
God.
Burn it, trash it.
It's a trash it record.
No, you're cruel. Counting all different ideas drifting away. Past and present, that'll matter. That is a band called Phoenix with the song 1901 from their new album, the fourth of their career, Wolfgang Amadeus Phoenix, kind of pretentiously titled. This is a French group, Greg, that is probably best known for the fact that their leader, Thomas Mars, is director Sofia Coppola's baby daddy. Other than that, they've backed the French duo Air in concert several times on different tours. They've collaborated with Daft Punk. They've put out three albums, and while there's been buzz in that kind of Euro-disco hipster underworld, they've never really delivered on the promise. Now, this album is getting a big push in the U.S., Wolfgang Amadeus Phoenix, with that song 1901 and another song we're going to play now called Listomania. Interesting trivial fact, Greg, this is about the Hungarian pianist Franz Liszt, who in the 1800s inspired waves of passionate fan adoration. He was like the Frank Sinatra or the Beatles or the Black Eyed Peas of his day, with people throwing themselves at him on stage. And this song is, I think, kind of pointing out that a good pop craze is timeless, no matter what century we're talking about. Here is Phoenix with Listomania on Sound Opinions. We'll come back and rate it on the Buy It, Burn It, Trash It scale.
Listomania on Sound Opinions from Phoenix and the new album Wolfgang Amadeus Phoenix. Jim, on the first three albums, I think this group was basically figuring out what the formula was going to be, trying to get it just right. A little bit of synth, a little bit of guitar, some of these rave-tastic drums, a little bit of ambient texture. They were, again, I'm going to use the cook analogy here. They were, you know, playing around with the ingredients and trying to get it just right. And I don't think they quite got the formula correct on those first three records. On their fourth album, I think they get it just right. What they are striving for here is 10 filler-free pop songs, and I think they finally achieve it with this record. A nice mix of styles. Some people have called them a disco band. Some people have called them a new wave band. I think they combine all of those elements in really interesting ways. Even the one track that sort of skirts the formula, this sort of German art rock groove on Love Like a Sunset, Part 1. I think is perfectly placed in the record. It's sequenced just right. You need a little bit of a breather in the middle. That gives it to you. So I think both as a series of singles and also as a perfectly sequenced pop album, this succeeds totally. You know, you're defending Black Eyed Peas as like, you know, the pop album of the summer. No, this is the pop album of the summer right
now. See,
here.
I want them both. I want the Peas for when I'm frolicking on the beach, even though I hate sand. And I want, you know, this album for at night. You said krautrock for that song, Love Like a Sunset. I actually hear Roxy Music circa Avalon.
Yeah, yeah.
Mixed in with Air, they kind of split the difference. This is an entrancing and wonderful album that's great start to finish, just like the Black Eyed Peas, an enthusiastic buy it.
I'm 100% with you on this one, Jim.
What do we have on the show next week, Mr. Cott?
Next week, Jim, we have a fascinating interview with one of the great innovators of our time, Nine Inch Nails. Trent Reznor is going to be in the studio with us.
As always, Greg, we have some thank yous to say on the way out. Mary Gaffney recorded Steve Earle's performance for us. Sound Opinions was produced, as always, by our ace team of Todd Bachman, Jason Saldana, and Robin Lynn. And our fearless leader and executive producer is Tori Southside Malatia, about whom it is rumored there was a third verse. It was originally Poncho, Lefty, and Tori, but Towns cut all that out.
On Sound Opinions, everyone's a critic. So give us a call on our hotline, 1-888-859-1800.
Hi, this is Judy from Chicago. I was just calling to say thank you for the disco show that you aired last week. It's about time someone gave some respect to disco and its history and its influence and everything that has come from this quite interesting creative type of music. Anytime I hear Gloria Gaynor, I start to groan because the first line in which she sings, "At first I was afraid, I was petrified. I know in 3 seconds I will be belting out praises to Gloria Gaynor and telling her, yes, lady, I will survive." You just can't help but being, like, moved by it. And so once again, I just want to say thanks. I had a great time dancing and listening to the show. You guys are doing great. Thanks.
Hi, my name is Susan. I'm calling from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I just listened to your show about disco music with great anticipation, and I truly enjoyed it. And I want to thank you for acknowledging that it was the gay community, as one of the fringe communities, that helped the genre soar. Gloria Gaynor's I Will Survive was the anthem of a generation. I still blast it and sing along when I hear it as I drive. Once again, I really enjoyed your show. Thank you very much. Bye.
Hi, guys. This is Chris calling from Boston, Mass. And I just listened to your podcast where you felt the need to defend disco. Disco seems alive and well these days. You spend a lot of time covering all these new waivers and all these dance groups that center their sound around loops on their laptops. And, I mean, I, for one, am sick of it. I'm sick of watching people set up their MacBooks before a show. And I'm sick of these new waivers smirking over their microphones at me while they yip and yap and, you know, the ironic falsetto. So, you know, somebody's got to say something. Somebody's got to call shenanigans on you guys. Let's bring back the Disco Sucks t-shirts. And let's not forget the Minutemen, who asked the immortal question, do you want new wave or do you want the truth? And I don't know that I'm ready for the truth, but I'm sick of the disco and the new wave. Love the show. Love you guys. Good work.
A word war will set off the keg. My words are war. Should a word have two meanings? For should words serve the truth?
Hi, Jim and Greg. This is Shala from Oakland. I'm a new but big fan of your show. I just wanted to let you know how much I appreciated your show on disco. I love the way you elevated it and redeemed it and showed how influential it was. And I especially love the samples you chose, especially Shame, Shame, Shame and I Feel Love. Thanks again. Keep up the fabulous work.
Messages.
To give us your opinion on Sound Opinions, call our hotline, 1-888-859-1800. We'll be back next week with Sound Opinions from Chicago Public Radio and American Public Media.